You're listening to an African Elements top news story for June 5, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why the Cyrus Carmack-Belton verdict ignites deep anger. In June 2026, protests erupted across Columbia, South Carolina. Demonstrators gathered to express their outrage following a highly controversial trial. On June 1, 2026, a Richland County jury acquitted 61-year-old convenience store owner Chike Rick Chow of murder. The trial centered on the fatal shooting of 14-year-old Cyrus Carmack-Belton in May 2023. Civil rights groups, including the NAACP and the National Action Network, rallied on June 4. They condemned the verdict as a severe miscarriage of justice. The incident began when the teenager entered a Shell gas station convenience store. Chike Rick Chow and his family falsely suspected the youth of shoplifting 4 bottles of water, but security footage later proved the teenager put the bottles back and stole nothing. Despite this fact, the store owner and his son Andy pursued him on foot. The chase ended with the teenager being shot in the back. Community members argued that the chase itself was a form of extrajudicial violence. The Richland County jury deliberated for nearly 8 hours before reaching a verdict. The 12-member panel consisted of 7 black jurors and 5 jurors of other races. This diverse group ultimately found Chike Rick Chow not guilty of murder. Many observers wondered how a jury with such a demographic makeup could acquit. The defense successfully raised reasonable doubt by focusing on South Carolina self-defense statutes. Under South Carolina law, a defendant does not carry the burden to prove self-defense. Instead, the prosecution must disprove self-defense beyond a reasonable doubt. The defense team utilized the defense of others doctrine. They argued that Chike Rick Chow fired his weapon to protect his son Andy.
Andy Chow testified that the teenager turned and pointed a loaded pistol at him during the chase. This testimony created the legal space for an acquittal. The defense of others doctrine allows individuals to use deadly force to protect a third party. Legally, the defender steps directly into the shoes of the person being threatened. However, the prosecution argued that the Chows were the initial aggressors because they chased the boys. Generally, an initial aggressor forfeits their right to claim self-defense.
To overcome this obstacle, the defense invoked the law of withdrawal. They argued that Andy Chow effectively withdrew from the conflict. When the teenager allegedly pointed a gun, Andy raised his hands in surrender. Legally, this action restored Andy's right to self-defense. Consequently, Chike Rick Chow was legally authorized to use lethal force to protect his son. This complex legal strategy bypassed the consequences of the initial chase. Merchants often claim they have a right to protect their property. South Carolina law codifies this through the shopkeeper's privilege. This privilege allows store owners to briefly detain suspected shoplifters. However, the detention must occur in a reasonable manner and for a reasonable time. It is meant strictly for investigating theft on or near the premises. In contrast, retail vigilantism involves extrajudicial actions that exceed these legal limits. The Chows chased the teenager 130 yards down a public street. Shopkeeper's privilege does not authorize armed, off-property pursuits. Furthermore, citizens cannot use deadly force to protect mere property, such as water bottles. This violent overreach highlights a growing trend of private citizens acting as police officers. Historically, this trend reflects a broader shift toward systemic inequality. The Cyrus Carmack-Belton case does not exist in isolation. Historically, black youth have faced extreme danger when accused of retail offenses. In 1955, 14-year-old Emmett Till entered a grocery store in Mississippi. He was falsely accused of making improper advances toward a white female clerk. Consequently, white men abducted, tortured, and brutally murdered the child. An all-white jury quickly acquitted the killers. That acquittal shocked the nation and galvanized the early civil rights movement. The pattern of criminalizing black children over minor commercial interactions began long ago. This history of post-Civil War oppression created a legal culture where black lives are devalued. The suspicion of black youth in retail spaces remains a persistent trigger for deadly violence. Another painful parallel occurred on March 16, 1991, in Los Angeles.
15-year-old Latasha Harlins entered a local deli. The store owner, Soon Ja Do, falsely accused the teenager of stealing orange juice. In reality, Harlins had cash in her hand to pay for the beverage. A physical altercation ensued at the counter. After the fight, Harlins put the juice down and turned to walk away. Soon, Jay Duca pulled a handgun and shot the girl in the back of the head. A jury later convicted Duca of voluntary manslaughter. However, Judge Joyce Carlin exercised extreme judicial discretion. She suspended Ducey's prison sentence and imposed probation, community service, and a minor fine. This lenient sentence served as a catalyst for the 1992 Los Angeles riots. Modern self-defense laws have expanded significantly over the past two decades. Historically, common law required a duty to retreat in public spaces. However, many states enacted stand-your-ground statutes. These laws eliminate the duty to retreat if a person senses an imminent threat. South Carolina codified this concept in its Protection of Persons and Property Act. Extensive research shows deep racial disparities in how these laws are applied. A study by the Urban Institute analyzed federal homicide data. The study found that white shooters who kill black victims are 354% more likely to have the shooting rule justifiable. Conversely, black defendants rarely succeed when claiming stand your ground. The legal system continues to view black citizens as inherent threats. Activists from modern civil rights movements argue these laws institutionalize racial bias. Before the case went to a jury, Chike Rick Chow sought total immunity. His defense team formally invoked South Carolina's Protection of Persons and Property Act. They requested a pre-trial immunity hearing to throw out the charges. In November 2025, Circuit Court Judge Scott Sprouse presided over the hearing. Judge Sprouse ultimately denied the motion for immunity. The judge ruled that the store owner acted as the initial aggressor. Therefore, Chow could not claim self-defense under the act to avoid a trial. This crucial ruling forced the case to proceed to a full criminal trial. Although Chow lost his bid for pretrial immunity, his lawyers successfully used similar self-defense arguments in front of the jury. One of the most contentious aspects of the trial was the physical evidence. Autopsy reports showed that Cyrus Carmack Belton was shot once directly in the back. The prosecution argued that shooting a fleeing child in the back cannot be self-defense. However, the defense presented a dynamic physical theory to the jury. The defense argued that a human body can turn in a fraction of a second. They asserted that the teenager pointed a gun and then spun around to flee. In that split second, the store owner fired his weapon. Because the prosecution could not disprove this exact millisecond, reasonable doubt remained in them. This complex physical argument convinced the jury to acquit, leaving the family grieving. The rise of stand-your-ground laws has not made communities safer. Research published by the R&D Corporation shows these laws are associated with a suggestive increase in firearm homicides. Specifically, researchers found an 8 to 11% rise in homicides nationwide. These laws seem to encourage a vigilante mindset among private citizens. Legal experts warn that these statutes deputize untrained merchants as judge and jury. Consequently, ordinary disputes turn into lethal encounters. The tragic death of Cyrus Carmack Belton reflects this national trend. The community continues to organize and demand systemic reforms. The struggle for black liberation must address these deadly disparities in the justice system. Only through systemic change can families find true safety. Copyright, African Elements.